June 1st Planning Commission meeting to order at this time. We will start with the minutes of the May 18th meeting. Get a chance to look over, and if there are any additions or corrections or clarifications, please let them be known. Otherwise, if it looks good, I will accept the motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
All right. That's perfect. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. All right, on to our third agenda item, the Daniel Temple plan review. Kaylee, if you could take us through that, please.
Yeah, the applicant is Daniel Temple, and they're requesting a plan review of the property located at Benson Southeast on 12th. The address we have on the packet is actually incorrect. It is zoned general industry district, and they're looking to demolish the existing building and erect a new maintenance facility and repair shop. The use is allowed in the I2 district and is similar to existing uses there. And we have listed out the minimum requirements for development in the I2 district, and it's in the packet. The recommendation is that, you want to take this? We have Mr. Temple here, I believe you can speak more to it, but Justice has been working with them in the past few weeks, so he'll be able to speak more to that.
Yeah, so I've been working with Dan Temple on, I guess, this building, I guess on this particular project. So it's kind of the issue at hand. I think this is the only actionable item on tonight's agenda, and I think this is just to approve the site plan, and I think to approve the proposal, and I think make the contingency upon that he get a variance for the approval to take place. I think that's really it. So I think consider all aspects, but I think as far as staff sees it, I think the easement going through the property is grounds for a variance, and I think after this, we've already informed the applicant that they'll have to go in front of the Board of Zoning Appeals for the variance to be considered. So I guess kind of, I guess Dan can probably take over. I guess you guys need any refreshers from the last meeting, or if you guys have any questions of staff of kind of how we got to this conclusion of thinking that a variance is the right move, and I think why we kind of got there, or anything else, other aspects on the project. So
sure. All right. Dan, hey.
Yeah.
Anything to add?
Yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. We mentioned last time, the property's going to be greatly improved by having the new buildings on it. Increase the tax base. And with the easement running through the second lot, we couldn't put the second building we wanted to in there, so we're asking to be able to put it in the same spot as where the existing building is. So it'll be 33 by 66, and that requires some variance on setbacks, and right now the current building doesn't comply with the setbacks either, so it's kind of a wash.
Mm-hmm. Are any commissioners, any questions?
Will the house remain in its location?
Yes. Yep. The house is rented out to dog groomers. Yep. You got any puppies? Yeah, they do a great job.
So are we making a recommendation? Is that what we're doing?
We would be looking for a recommendation to approve this proposal contingent on the variance being granted by the zoning board.
You mean a motion?
A motion, yeah.
Motion.
There's the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, there is a motion and a second to make the approval of the proposal with that condition of the variance granted by the boarding zoning board. And since this is a plan review, we have to read our findings of fact. That the project for the plan review with such conditions as the commission shall determine and attach conforms to the purpose and intent of this ordinance and is in conformity with the comprehensive land use plan of the city, that there was no factual demonstration of a substantial appreciable negative impact on values to properties in the neighborhoods from the proposed conditional use. The project for the plan review will not result in the destruction, loss, or damage of natural, scenic, or historic feature of major importance to the community. The project for the plan review will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of surrounding property for uses permitted in the district as zoned. That adequate utilities, access roads, stormwater management, and other necessary facilities have been or are being provided. That adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress and egress in such a manner as to minimize traffic congestion and maximize public safety in public streets. And lastly, the project for the plan review must be designed, constructed, operated, and maintained in a manner that is compatible in appearance with the existing or intended character of the surrounding area or neighborhood. And we will take a voice vote then. Commissioner Frank?
Approved.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Holwerda?
Yes.
Commissioner Dressler?
Yes.
And Chair votes yes. Motion carries. Very good. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
All right. Our next agenda item is the Steve Pepin plan review. This is a preliminary. I do not see Mr. Pepin here, so maybe let's skip over that to number 5 and give him a little more time to show up if he's going to be here. So we'll move on to number 5, Chuck Crone plan review. And this is a preliminary as well.
So. Yeah, so I guess kind of the, so this is kind of like very, very interesting situation. So this is along with like the Epitopics annexation that happened like several years ago. And I think we're kind of working through the project of like kind of getting city sewer out there, city water and everything. And so I think it was about maybe like 2 weeks ago or so, our building official got plans on like a bathroom remodel and was like, what? Like, what's happening? And so then I think that was kind of the first time we heard about the project, and then that's when it kind of got on my radar. I'd heard about it, I guess, several weeks ago. I mean, like, I was like, we had that meeting probably like 3-4 weeks ago with the building owner, and I just kind of always thought that like the project was like everything was kind of squared away like on our end. Turns out that it wasn't, and so we were kind of going out there to look at something else, and that's kind of why I informed them that, hey, all industrial uses require a plan review, so lucky for you, like, you know, we're doing these preliminaries, and, like, you know, you could kind of make it to the first meeting on June, and then the second meeting in June, then, like you could, it can be actionable, and we kind of go from there. So the background on this is that the building was annexed in, I think it's like a year or two ago.
January of 21.
So very recent. The building has always been there. So this isn't like, there are no exterior changes, nothing on the outside of the building is changing. The parking and like everything, all of that's kind of already there. But like I said, all industrial uses require plan review, period. So that's what triggered the plan review. And I guess kind of the interesting details, I think, with the city that we still have to work out are there's no city water or city sewer, and so the building size requires it to be sprinkled, but they cannot sprinkle it until they have city water. So there will be a full monitoring system. I think we already worked it out with the fire department, that'll suffice in the meantime. And then I think there's another issue just kind of with the size of the lot. And how it backs up to the water tank that Epitopics, Vaxinova uses next door. That's like the truck has to turn around. So parking expansion would be a little tight. So parking is a concern. But they have a solution for that as far as like busing workers and things like that. So, yeah, I guess with that, I turn it over to Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm here instead of Chuck. Chuck is a contract project manager that you met on site. I'm the vice president of operations for Lund Boats in Brunswick out of New York Mills. So I've got a, do you have something I can plug into?
Yeah.
Can you walk through this? I thought I'd just give you a little background on the project and what it is we're doing in there. And, yep, that one.
Yeah, my glasses on, but I still can't see what I need to click. Right there. There we go. Alright. Yeah, just let me know when to click and then you're good to go. Just
pop to the next one there. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. So, sort of the reason we're coming here, and you may have seen it in the newspaper article that we put out too, is New York Mills is about 100 miles north of here. I'm sure most of you are familiar. It's a town of 1,300 people, in 600 of them work at our plant. So as you can imagine, it's very difficult to hire up there. And so we've been looking for ways to sort of get away from our labor market a little bit and get into a strong labor market, which Wilmer is. And so what we're looking at doing is taking some pretty rudimentary parts where actually these metal parts would be cut and stamped and bent in New York Mills. And the vinyl and carpet would also be cut into its patterns in New York Mills, sent down here in kits, and then we would have people glue the vinyl onto the parts, package them up into like a boat kit for a specific boat, and send it right back to New York Mills. So essentially what it does is it gets us 30 more people not in our own backyard and helps us with some pretty simple parts. So what we've decided to do is lease a manufacturing facility here in Wilmer. That's the one that we're talking about. It'll have 30 to 35 new employees. I think you had 45 on yours. It's going to be less than that. I think it's going to be 33 is what we end up with, plus or minus a handful. And then you can just see the process on the bottom where we'll make the parts in New York Mills. We'll ship them here. We'll glue on the carpet and vinyl, we'll package them up, and ship them back to New York Mills. If you can go to the next one. So again, it's 98 miles, pretty good trucking path. We actually have a trucking company in Alexandria that's sort of right in the middle. And I'll get to this in a minute, but from a truck traffic standpoint, it's actually about two trucks a week. The most that we'll see is one truck a day coming in and out of that facility, but generally two trucks a week. And you know, why here? It's far enough away that it's out of our labor market, but close enough that it's pretty easy. I mean, if I have an emergency run of parts, I can throw in a pickup and get it to New York Mills in a couple hours, right, if we need to. And then obviously there's a really nice workforce available here, quality workforce, a good industrial infrastructure, and a few available facilities, which is not what we have in the Otter Tail County and Becker County area for sure. So just some of the plan overviews from a site plan. We don't intend to change anything externally in the building at all. Other than we're bringing in three-phase power, which the neighbors to the south there actually have three-phase power, so electric company is going to run us three-phase power to our building. And then internally, new lighting, some new air handling equipment, just to make sure that the air quality is right for our employees. From an OSHA, EPA, MPCA standpoint, it's low HAPS, it's low VOCs, low hazardous chemicals. I just want to make sure the right air quality is in there. So, and then we're going to remodel and expand the restrooms and the break rooms just so that we've got adequate facilities for all the people. And then we would like to hook up into city sewer and water when that becomes available. Just makes things easier for us with the septic system. And we have very little water usage. It's going to be toilets and sinks and not even drinking water. We'll get like Culligan for drinking water and that sort of thing. So very low water usage. And then from an operational plan, we're working with a company called Ag Jobs LLC out of Wilmer. I'm sure many of you are familiar with them. So they'll be providing contract labor. And most of their employees are Spanish-speaking employees, so they'll also provide us with some HR support and some supervision support. It also affords us the ability to bus people in. A lot of their folks are used to that, where they either carpool because they don't have cars, or they don't have Minnesota driver's license, that sort of thing. So it gives us the opportunity to bus in probably about half of our employees, which helps with our parking concerns. We recognized when we leased it that that would be tight, and we'd have to find a solution for that. And like you, we don't want people out parking on the roadway.
Which building is yours?
One right in the middle here.
Thank you.
Oh, if you could probably, yeah.
So let's see, if you go to the next one. So one of the things that we have, in the plan review, it asks for building drawings and elevations and all that kind of stuff. And I brought the owner with, he doesn't have that. Building's been here for about 40 years, and it's just recently been annexed in. So this is just off the GIS map, what the setbacks are, building size and that sort of thing. And then where the utilities are. There's one mistake on here, the gas utility is actually coming in about right here. The rest of it comes in this corner. In terms of parking spots, I think this shows 27 parking spots, but there's actually room here for probably three or four more. You could get a couple more here if you want, but I think we'll be okay. Just due to the fact that we have a plan to provide transportation for probably half of our folks.
Where's the loading dock?
Loading dock is
on the north side.
Loading dock is right here.
Where the 18-foot mark is?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So we're actually, so there's, I should have shown the rest of the property. Actually, if you go to the next one, I do have a traffic detail in there. So the truck traffic will come in here. There's a turnaround area back here that the folks to the north use.
Okay.
They bring in one truck a week or something like that, a tanker truck. So there's an area they can turn around and then they can back into this loading dock. We're actually going to use soft-sided trucks so we can load from the side.
Okay.
It'll alleviate, so we can get the truck tighter to the building and we can just move the truck forward as we need to. And everything will be in big totes that we can just load onto the truck side with a forklift. And then so, people, there's a sort of a shared access up the middle of this parking lot for parking. Our folks would park here and here, and then the bus would come in and out of here. And that truck is roughly to scale, I think. We tried to measure it 52 feet or 60 feet.
You said truck about twice a week or in the very busiest?
Once a day.
Once a day.
Yeah.
Is there a typical kind of a seasonal pattern that...
There isn't. Our production is pretty level loaded. It's actually in this... In the winter is our heaviest season. That's where we're trying to fill up our dealers. In the summer is our slowest season. But nonetheless, our production rates are relatively level throughout the year, plus or minus 5 or 6 units a day. And so the front half of that, I should have mentioned, the front half of this building is where we'll be doing the applying the carpet and the vinyl to the metal parts. And then this area will all be storage, where we'll have a day or two of inventory here and a day or two of inventory in New York Mills. And that's why we just keep the trucks to a minimum, is we'll drop off inventory. It's not a live load where it sits there all day, right? We drop off inventory, the truck leaves, and then we load back up and haul parts back to New York Mills once a day, or twice a week, I guess. Go to the next one. I don't remember if I have one more slide after this.
No, that's like six.
That's it. Okay.
You're currently running on a septic and a
well? Yeah, and the well is shared access with the folks to the north.
And to the south.
And to the south, yeah. So all three people are on that well.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like how I was saying. So like this area, like right here, they can't really be parking because this is where Vaxinova uses to like, they like load up the trucks. And they fill them up, and they use all of this as like turning space.
Yep,
correct.
So,
and that's where we would actually turn our truck around.
Yeah.
And so with the 27 actually lined out parking spots that I showed, we've talked with the neighbor to the north, and everybody's got a good agreement on the shared path, in ingress and egress out of there. But they fill up their parking, and we'll likely fill up our parking too. but we need to stay on our property, they need to stay on theirs, is kind of what the agreement is. But the busing, I know that won't be an issue. We probably, even with visitors, will maybe use 20 of those parking spots on the given day.
When does the city plan on sewer and water?
It's a great question.
Before you retire?
No. So it'll definitely be this year. I know, like right now, I think Jared said they were, I think the bids already came back, but this fall.
So it's in the plans.
So gonna happen this year. This fall is the plan. So like I said, we were concerned initially that there was gonna be no way to permit it just because like it's required by building code. But talking with the fire department, they're okay with, like I said, the full monitoring alarm system. So.
Because that was my next question, is how the state fire marshal would feel about that operation without having sprinkler systems in there.
Oh.
And knowing what it takes, because, if you have it takes a lot if you're just on a well system and you've got to have a whole holding tank and it's a huge expense.
Yeah. So our plan was, so we actually budgeted a significant amount of money to put a sprinkler system in, so we're prepared to do that. And we work with a risk management company, mm-hmm. like most corporations do, and they would want us to be on that as well. But the preferred method is to get on city water. Otherwise, you're right, it's a giant holding tank and a jockey pump. And if we had to do that, we would, but I think we also have other facilities where if you have the right management tools in place, early warning systems, and a way to get people out and connected to the fire department. And it's really about, from a loss prevention standpoint, it's about keeping people safe for us.
Right.
Yeah, so I kind of want to stress that wasn't like a call we had over the phone. Me, the building official, fire chief, and the fire captain all went out toward the facility, looked at it, talked about the flammable materials that they work with, the flammable materials that they store, where they would be stored, how they would be stored. So we had like a comprehensive conversation about it. If I wasn't confident in the solution, I would say that it's a problem and that we would be able to permit because of it. But like I said, the fire marshal and the fire captain did say that the full monitoring alarm system will work in the meantime until they get on city water and are required to get a sprinkler system.
And there's also OSHA requirements for storage of our material as well, which right. also comply with fire standards, right? So there's fire cabinets with overflow on the bottom. And we'll store very little material here. Actually, with a truck coming multiple times a week, we can bring small, barrel quantities and not have to have excessive storage.
Yeah, here. You're talking adhesives?
Adhesives, yeah. And that's the rest is aluminum and carpet, right? So, but it's really about adhesive storage. But we generally use, in our main facility today, about 50 gallons a week. And we're only gonna have about half of our capacity here. So it's gonna be less than a barrel full a week. So if we just get those fire cabinets that store up to 4 barrels, we're probably only gonna have 2 in there at any given time. So the fire loading is pretty small and self-contained. And then as soon as we are able to, we'll be happy to spend the money on getting it fully sprinkled.
So it's any other questions, I guess? Any other information you guys feel like you need to make a decision for the next meeting?
So I've got an application filled out, and I can pay that tonight. I just had the one question about the drawings and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Are we okay to work off of the GIS map and the setbacks and the measurements that we took off there? Or do we have to go further than that?
I'm not really sure on like what the timeline is for surveys, but I think like we've always required like a site survey. I guess the application can be valid like without it, but I guess we need the site survey first, just because sometimes like that's when we run across like if there's an easement somewhere that we don't know about. So
yeah, Nothing's changing with the building, right? It's going to be as it was for the last 40 years.
No, but in my short time here, I've found out very, very quickly that there are things that should have been done that weren't done, and so they get found out later, you know, when they get redone. Yeah. So I understand where justice is coming from. Is, you know, things get missed previously.
Sure.
Like that easement under the house.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah, or like a 48-inch pipe just kind of just running through a field or something.
Yeah. I have no further questions.
About how long, barring anything pulling things out, would you be ready to go live with?
Our plan is to, so we actually have people in New York Mills training today. Okay. And they'll be training for the next several weeks, and then they're people from here, and then we'll move them back down here when the facility is ready. But we're thinking end of June, beginning of July is when we'd like to get started.
Commissioners, any other questions? All right.
Good. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on then to either number six. I'm gonna try. Okay.
Yep.
Here we go. La tiendita del güero.
La tiendita del güero. Yes.
Okay. I know I was gonna.
Yeah.
Give it a C-F result, but anyway. Kaylee, you like to?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commission. The applicant is Louis Eid Jesus, but my main contact has been Miss Leticia, and they're looking to open a grocery store on Litchfield 610 Litchfield Avenue, Southeast. It's on 12, and it's zone. It's one tiny spot zone. General business and intended uses is allowed in general business district. We have have requested MnDOT review, and I'm still waiting for their comment because we're required to do that on any property that abuts Highway 12. And the applicant is still yet to provide a detailed site plan unless I'm going to have that tonight, maybe. And another issue that's coming up is a setback. Any property on Highway 12 has to be 50 feet, but as it is currently, it's not 50 feet, so that's another thing we're looking at. But we're looking to get the comments from MnDOT and other city staff before we make our final recommendation on this.
So this is an existing building?
It's an existing building. That used to be for auto repair shop.
Oh.
Entered car lot.
Yeah.
There's cars there.
There's a bunch of cars in the back, just like in the picture.
Yeah.
You would think this area would have been taken yesterday.
Yeah, it's a car that is broken, and my husband is gonna throw it away. I have a drawing here. I don't have the 3D plan yet. I'm working with the architecture, and we're wanting to start a small grocery store, like a Mexican grocery store. We wanna sell like Mexican products, like prepackaged food, and have like a money transfer service and cash check service. Sure. That's what we're planning to do. And we want to know if we're allowed to start with this grocery store in there. We don't plan to make any big changes on the building. It's gonna be the same as is. We just have to finish the inside, because it's not like the ceiling, needs to be sheetrock ceiling. We have a handicap bathroom, but we need to put the rails for the handicap, and we need to paint it up and finish the siding outside. That's the most things we're gonna do. And we need to have the state electric to come inspection, the state inspection for electricity and for the plumbing. Okay. It's almost done, but it's not totally done.
Yeah,
and electricity and the plumbing.
Right, and I must know that she's been working with the building official on all of that, so, because they have to have a licensed plumber.
Yes. We have to apply for the state license, so they're gonna come
The inspector needs to come and check everything.
Do you own the building?
Yes, my husband, Luis de Jesus, he owns the building. It's under his name.
About how many parking spaces are out there?
It has 14 parking spaces.
Okay.
That's basically behind the building.
Right.
Yeah.
Here, there's a couple of idea of what their plan is here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I guess my one question is delivery for your supplies.
Delivery?
Yeah.
Where are we gonna get it?
Trucks.
Yeah, like.
Well, how are they gonna? Where? I just want like Hawk and you think you'll have, because it'll be a small truck, like.
A small truck.
Okay.
Yeah, small truck.
Just because, yeah, anything
yeah,
on.
There's gonna be a small store.
Be,
yeah. We have only 796. A square foot inside.
There's,
so it's
there's,
not that
you could
around
just
or?
Well with a like a 24 foot there would be, but there wouldn't be a lot of room if you had a, you know, a semi wouldn't. It would be parked on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I used to work at Edderman. They backed in off of Highway 12.
Yeah.
That was hey-o. Scary.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really just Litchfield Avenue when you think about it. It's not. It's
yeah.
not a highway.
True.
I just have a comment that I'm familiar with that location, and it's such a small store for a grocery store. Are you trying to break the Guinness record for the smallest grocery store?
I guess. Well, we're planning something, you know, like a business, a family business. I'm going to be the one who runs the business, so I'm learning everything right now.
Sure.
So that's what we're planning, because before we want to have a car dealership, but it's a lot of money to invest too, and it's kind of hard with selling cars right now.
Yeah.
What type of produce are you going to be selling? Dry goods, meats?
Yeah, no meats. No meats. There's going to be like beans, rice, sugar, you know, basics, groceries. Maybe fresh produce.
So I guess kind of one of the things that I think is probably like pretty good for information. So I feel like it's Chow's Market, the Asian Market. It's kind of like right like a couple blocks from here.
Mm-hmm.
Also pretty small. And I think there's like a rental apartment unit like above it, but it's pretty small. They could fit the first floor. I think like the common area here in the City Hall. And I think also kind of one of the things to kind of think about, I think grocery stores have kind of been expanded, and I think when a lot of people think grocery stores, they think of like, you know, your Cubs, your Cashwises, but I mean like these neighborhood scale grocery stores still kind of count as grocery stores. I think that's one of the things that we're kind of looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That like in I think like R2 neighborhood service store is a thing that is just allowed like in R2, and so that'd probably be, that's much more on the scale of like what you're talking about, not necessarily mm-hmm. your traditional commercial grocery store. This would be much more like a mom and pop family operation.
Mm-hmm.
Much far, much smaller footprint,
which is similar to a number of the stores downtown here, the Somali stores.
Yep.
Hispanic mm-hmm. stores.
Yeah. Almost like a superette sort of a
yeah.
Commissioners, any other questions or things that you might think you would want to know before seeing this next time?
Yeah, it's the ultimate decision of the Planning Commission, but I technically don't have issues with the setback. Well, unless the MnDOT comments
mm-hmm.
can proceed, can you know overrule that, but we're still awaiting that, because
yep.
that's also an issue that I want you to know that we're also looking at.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. This particular property is surrounded by residential?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right here. So it's just the only.
Sort of, kind of. It's right. Real weird.
So here is it, right here.
Yeah, I would say like that's just kind of that like Highway 12 corridor. That's just kind of wonky. Cause like I mean, you go a couple blocks to the east there. I mean, you got like the Gurley's food.
Is that considered industrial?
Because that's like that's one of the things that we talked about with the general business district that needs to be cleaned up. So like the Highway 12 East corridor has a more industrial feel to it, along with like the North Highway 71 corridor has an industrial feel to it as well. And so it's kind of caught in that area, even though and like it used to be like an auto sales shop. So that's kind of how it got there. And so yeah, kind of as like Kyrie was saying, I mean, I think staff's still like a little undecided on some other things, but as far as like the setback goes, not what that means.
Yeah, but I mean, it's an existing building that was set there and it's been there for how long? So then, if it's not variance in, then it's of no use to anybody.
Yeah,
it's. Very small, so there's not a lot of uses.
Right.
Yeah, it probably had about the same level of customer come and go when it was in its original form too. So
right.
I would think that's, you know, I would hope it, and that would take the past into consideration when they're looking at it now too, as former use.
Yeah. So it's just kind of there's MnDOT, and then there's kind of. I would say like the opinion of I think like a lot of people in town. One of the things that I get approached about frequently is about how the Highway 12 East corridor looks. People have just been like, we should really redevelop that. Like so much so that I mean we have the opportunity zone, but I think kind of like stringent setbacks, like forcing people to move buildings, or like forcing people to either. Demo the building and then build a new building is how you get that redevelopment that people will love to talk to me about. So I think that's also like another aspect. And I guess like the setbacks on the residential are lesser than the general business. So if there were to be like a rezone and into R2 and then this would be like a neighborhood service store, the setbacks would only be 30 feet instead of 50. And there are no clauses about Highway 12 about like that affect the setback. But there are multiple sides to just enforcing the setback, not just MnDOT review. Also, the redevelopment that people keep clamoring about. So it's kind of, you guys probably want information on like truck traffic, like deliveries, and kind of like what that's going to look like.
That was just the one question. But, I mean, to be honest, DEQ had their truck deliveries, and I just don't see any difference between DEQ operating there for however, I mean, that was his first DEQ, right? Yeah. And that was their long, yeah. Okay. So I just don't see any changes. The only changes I see is the big industrial thing that's being built out there and how often they drive up and down Litchfield. That will be a big change.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I feel like there's like side loaders of dirt, man. Just kind of like trucking through the cold. It was like, it has to be like hundreds a day. It was nuts.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's another family-owned small business. I don't have any questions.
And by the time it comes back for formal review, you'll have the city's recommendations.
Correct.
Along with all of these other preliminaries.
We love that. Yeah.
Because the existing setback is an issue that you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, it's like right on the sidewalk. And I think there's also the other side, I think, that we've kind of talked about of like breaking up like the general business district. And the Highway 12 East corridor would be one of those separate. It would be broken into probably like its own thing that would probably match the North Highway 71 district of probably having its own setbacks. But I think there is like there is something to be said about driving into the city and you kind of want to create a feel.
And like setbacks can be a part of that, but this is just really preliminary to even try to kind of conceptualize that, what that would look like, and then try to enforce that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's definitely a part of, I think, like the forethought that's kind of going on there. So.
Yeah, I think, I mean, yeah, both considerations of wanting to redevelop as that corridor has been planned. At the same time, we don't want to hinder business development either in the area. We had conversations about some of those kind of smaller pocket kind of neighborhood businesses mm-hmm. a while ago too, in that area, kind of in that area of the Renaissance district, kind of to yeah. the south there of Definitely. 12, of just like smaller, like neighborhood superettes, neighborhood businesses that were like this, like the smaller scale, within walking distance of however many houses. So I mean, this kind of would fit into that model, I would think, fairly well too.
I'm just wondering, the difference too is your customers would be entering from the north side, which is the current probably entrance.
Yes.
And then are you redesigning the inside of the building? Because if I remember right, it's mostly just a counter space. They walk in, they order, and then they would walk out. So are you redesigning the inside a little bit?
The inside is empty.
They took out everything.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's nothing in there. Just the bathroom. And big square. That's all. It doesn't have anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, at least you won't have a lot of people standing out there on the sidewalk eating their ice cream.
All right. Any further questions? All right. And then we will see this as soon as we get word back from MnDOT and we have something to review. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. It's like our third and final preliminary then this evening is the CNH Industrial Plan Review.
Yeah, so kind of similar to the first one. They're kind of already kind of in the works. So this is the Bueller Building that was recently bought. Perfect. I was going to turn this out. But this Bueller Building that was recently bought, I think they had like a lease in town that was soon to expire, and they're moving all their stuff over, kind of remodeling the building on the inside. I don't know, you guys are probably going to paint some things on the outside, right? But nothing like structural big changes.
So yeah. With that, I'm Lance Doctor, the plant manager at the Benson CNH plant. We are in the process of moving our warehousing facility here, so we'll be receiving and warehousing. We purchased the Bueller Building. In that building, it's 141,000 square feet. We plan to initially occupy the eastern, I would call it two-thirds of that building. The rest of it will remain unoccupied right now for us. We plan to just have receiving and warehousing, and then there would be some light sub-assembly, which is just nuts, bolts, screws going together. And then the parts would be shipped over to Benson for further manufacturing at that point. The only exterior change to the building is that there on the east end there will be four loading docks that will be put in. And that's the only change to the exterior of the building. The rest of it is just repairs. Right now we've, in addition to purchasing the building, we have a budget this year of $1.9 million that we're spending to upgrade the facility to meet our needs.
Yep. So it's kind of how this came about. Representative from CNH, I think Devon, who's not here tonight, reached out, wanted to talk about sign ordinances and some things, so we kind of scheduled a meeting, came through, and I was like, is there anything else that we need to do? And I was like, yeah, he has like remodeling, and so all industrial uses require plan review, and so that's kind of how we got here today. And so that was last week. So this is like the preliminary review to just kind of figure out if there are any other things that you guys like to see, any other questions that you have that you'd like answered for you guys to make a decision at the next meeting. And so this is another, I think you they plan to bring the application and everything so that way it will be actionable at the next meeting.
Okay.
Any questions?
Could you pull it up on the aerial too?
Yeah, it's like right here. So,
if it's like zooming out, is it bad?
So you go around, and is this the one right here? I feel like this isn't low enough.
Trotton, not quite. 23rd Southwest.
23rd, where are we at?
Just do this.
Find the old airport. Sorry.
Yeah, it's this.
And that will help.
There we go. There we go. And so it's this right here. And so this is. So this is the industrial part, you should try it, and then it's kind of off that like second turn right there.
So you're trucking and moving will mostly come off of 5 and then hit up 12 out of town?
Yeah, that's what that would be. So there would be, what we're planning for right now, what we see is about 15 trucks per day that would come in and deliver parts to the plant. They would come through Trot. We'll have an offset from a current curb cut in that will be fenced, and it will come in so that we won't leave trucks on the street. Similar to what we do in Benson now off of Highway 12. That also would be, then there would be about 6 53-foot trucks that would leave every day to Benson. Our hours of operation are about 5:30 a.m. till about 8 p.m. So.
Well, yeah. Plenty of parking lot.
Yep. Initially, right now there should be about 97 spots in that parking lot, and we're going to have 25 employees initially here on site that will move either from Benson or be either transferred or filled through local hiring here.
This is just preliminary. Preliminary. City doesn't have any issues, and they're not changing anything, really. Okay.
And so, this isn't like the last one. I mean, this building was used within the city limits. Has basic power, kind of everything. So I think the they shouldn't require any major utility upgrades or anything. I don't think.
No, there's no utility upgrades required.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's room for further expansion in the future. We're trying to keep this just warehousing, but whatever meets the business needs. CNH has 9 assembly plants throughout the U.S., and they do move production of different parts and ag and construction equipment around. So there's a chance that some of that could become assembly eventually, but we'd have to bring that back to you at that time before we did that. So right now, it is just planned for warehousing space.
Any questions?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Very much.
Yep.
And like you said, next week or next meeting, we expect to see.
Good. Couple things.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Alrighty,
miscellany. Fun times. It's kind of becoming a favorite segment. Alright, where are we at?
It's here.
Oh, I dropped this stuff here. Alright. Okay, so I just think we didn't really get a chance to talk about this last time, but because you hinted at it, Stacy, about the Rockstep rezone and dissolving the shopping center district. So I've kind of had like some conversations with them about it. So they kind of approached and they're like, oh, hey, like, we'd like to. I think it was like one of the things that we subdivided. They wanted to rezone again, and I was just like, we might as well just like rezone. So just rezone the entire thing, man. We're not gonna keep doing this. So they've had conversations about it. I think there's some confusion. They think they can, that like currently the shopping center district allows them to bypass plan review, but as like everything gets plan reviewed, it's whether it's internal or whether it's like through the planning commission. So I think they'll probably be submitting that pretty soon. Because I think the Herberger's building, there's something looming and that is kind of tied to that, that they would like rezone, and I was just like, that's not happening. So, yeah, so I think that's just kind of wondering, I guess, kind of, are we still, where are we at with like dissolving the shopping center district and probably just going like an entire rezone before, I guess rezoning all of that to general business before we break out the general business district into like the three separate districts. But that area intended to be the high intensity retail and like the big box commercial that's like more like the large scale footprint, like south of Bloomer Avenue.
So you're asking us? You asking us for something?
Well, yeah, so,
what we think about?
Yeah, just because, like, I mean, I guess, like, we've talked about it in the past, but, I mean, I think now we're going to get an application, I think, from Rockstep to rezone the entire property. Mm-hmm. I think that's what, just because okay. I, like, yeah, the piecemeal rezones don't really work.
Is Rockstep supporting that application?
Yeah, they are.
So they want to rezone that just as one unit again?
So right now the shopping center district is essentially just them and Skylark Mall.
Yeah.
Right. But what they would, and so all their parcels that are over there, however many they are, they would rezone all of them to general business.
Got it.
And so that's
some already general business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some already are.
Yeah.
What is the significant difference between those two districts?
So general business is just kind of, there's some industrial uses that you can have there. There's some storage facility things you can have. I mean, it's general business is almost like, what can't you have? Some things kind of require like plan review. And I think they have some things that like bypass the plan review stage, but they're like, oh, like that's just going to require more time. And I was like, not really. Cause like some things that get submitted, just cause you submit something and it's reviewed. I mean, like getting like the entitlements and the building permits and everything figured out. I think Tidal Wave took like 9 months. And that was like on their issue. But yeah. So I would say not really a significant difference. Some things do have to go through plan review, but all things go through plan review. It's just whether it's a matter of internal plan review on staff side or if it comes to the Planning Commission for public plan review.
I recall a couple years back, we actually changed the use applications for the shopping center district to please Rockstep when they first came in.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that's going to change that too then.
So
that'll give them more broad use.
Yeah, and so I've also kind of communicated to them that the second half of this will be like when we break apart the general business district and it kind of becomes that high intensity retail south of Wilmer Avenue where all our big boxes are. But they'll also kind of be included with the flexibility of having office space, keeping the housing, the multifamily housing aspect. I think also probably having like an institutional feel as well because they were like, oh, well, like we're seeing malls redevelop into medical facilities. And in Charleston, South Carolina, that was the thing that they did. They like tore down part of the mall and then built this massive hospital complex that had housing and everything like for the nurses and added a park and all this other stuff. They're really interested in it being flexible. They're also interested in it being the city hall, but you know, there's that. But I would say like definitely office space, definitely housing, retail. I think things that are probably classified as industrial, but are like more just kind of like the commercial stuff. But yeah, I think that's kind of the direction that they're going. So
more options.
Yeah, yep. Just more options. And also would get rid of this like piecemeal rezoning that just kind of undermines the zoning map, if that makes sense. So. All right, so I guess before we get to the summer meeting schedule, something else came up. If you guys remember the October meeting when I resigned from the Planning Commission, after I left, you guys kind of went over like a house move on Lakeland. The house was like moving to Lakeland.
Yeah.
Okay, so two issues. One, the house. So what was submitted to the
The house that's sitting on, still waiting to be put in the ground as they started digging over by the water tower next to the farm.
So I just full disclosure. So the lady that spoke owns the property. The lady that came that night, Kathy Petrick.
Yep.
That came that night. Kathy came to speak about like property, and I was just like really concerned about it and kind of all sorts of things. Oddly enough, that's where I live now, and Kathy is my landlord. So I've been looking at the house like across the street, like that's just there. And so I guess kind of came out of the house, and then I was just kind of like wondering about like all this other stuff. So then like I was like she's like, oh, like I just, that's just not where like they were gonna put the house and all this other stuff. And I was like, okay. And I was like, all right, so I'll like look into it. And so went back, looked at the minutes, looked at the site plan that was submitted. The site plan, if you guys remember, the house is towards the western part of the lot. And so where the house currently is and where they're digging the hole and where the footings are.
The northeast.
Yeah.
They put it in line with kind of where the other houses are.
Right. So I spoke to Ben Fisher today, and he said that's kind of what happened. And I was like, Ben, the site plan you submitted is like 150, 125 feet different from what you're building. Like, the issue here is that, like, what was approved is not what you're building. We can't just have these, like, this is a substantial change. 5 feet, maybe 25 feet, but, like, 150 feet, you're, like, really pushing it. That's a substantial deviation from your plans.
However, it's further away from her house.
That is true.
Because he put it in the, it's like a few quadrant and four corners of that, and he put it in quadrant number one, which is on the northeast.
Yep. So, that's issue number one. Does a substantial deviation require a resubmission? Issue number two, there's a clause in the minutes that says that the house move, because like you and Stephanie were adamant that like the 4 months wasn't enough, and Jeff pushed back and was like, no, people don't build things, like we need to have the 4 month timeline. But in the minutes it says that the clause is that the 4 month clock starts when the house is moved to the property. And I think that like...
Is that what it said? Because I remember specifically 4 months is not enough time.
Right. And so in the meeting, that, like, we never got to that. I never heard that as like the summary, but in the minutes, that is there as like the clause. And so then Jeff was like, I think the, so I talked not to Jeff, I talked to Ben today, and he was like, yeah, I think he was like, yeah, like 4 months, but like it just kind of wasn't enough. And I was like, okay, let's say like it is 4 months. You're definitely going to need an extension, because I think the house has been here since like February.
It came in the wintertime, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, it's June. That puts you at 4 months. At minimum, you're going to need an extension, because there's an insurance bond that would be a penalty against them if it's not, construction's not complete like next week. So I was like, I need to talk to the Planning Commission to figure out if there needs to be a resubmission, and if there needs to be a formal extension of this like 4 months period or like whatever time you need. I was like, I don't think anyone's going to disagree that the weather's been bad and it's been tough to work in, but I just think like before you start getting penalized financially, like that's why this whole thing is put in. So I'm bringing that back to you all for discussion as far as, one, do you think that is a substantial deviation? Does that require a resubmission? Or do you guys want us to handle that on staff side? And then also, the extension. Deadline extension. Yeah. Do you guys think
that requires them to come back in front to be formally extended.
Has the applicant made any estimates as to when they will be completing the project?
No.
Nothing.
He plans on they're going to pour concrete this weekend to start laying blocks.
I was going to say, the excavation's done, and I thought they were going to, it looks like they're set up to start setting the foundation.
Yep. So I talked to Ben today. He said the plans to start laying concrete, and they wanted to put in sewer tomorrow, but the building inspector was like, I don't think that's not going to happen. The permit's not going to be ready in time. Because I was like, we kind of need to get this answered first.
Where they put it, I'm assuming it still meets setbacks for the space, so technically the city doesn't have an issue where they placed it, and it is in line, as far as I could tell, as I drive by it every day, it's in line with all the other housing properties along that side, so it's not in front of it.
Yeah. Those two issues that were of a concern at the time when it was presented are actually being resolved by the change in location. Mm-hmm. One is the neighbor's concern of it being so close to her property line, and the other is the site view from Front Street.
But I
do agree, 150 feet is substantial.
Right, that's where I'm at. It's a substantial deviation from what they submitted.
And with regard to the time frame of completing the project, I recall that there was a discussion of going back where 4 months was not sufficient time based upon the season we were involved in. And the spring thaw and other issues, contractor availability that might be causing a concern.
I thought, yeah.
And it went back and forth.
Oh yeah.
But we had assurances from the city staff that they would work together to make sure that if there were any extensions needed, that it would be worked out between the applicant.
That's how I remember it. In fact, I think we're pushing right to the point that 4 months after they start digging, when they can start digging, would be a reasonable time to have a house set. But I do, I'm with Cletus. I mean, it's like you guys said, we work with extensions or whatever as long as they were progressing.
Yeah. So I guess kind of don't need a formal extension from y'all. I guess we probably need to figure out on the legal end about how we hold up on the penalty. And so that's probably a discussion with the building official. As far as like a resubmission of the plans, as far as like the substantial deviation from moving the house, where are you guys at with that?
If it's submitted, I would expect it would be approved, barring any unforeseen information that we haven't heard.
Yeah, so I guess kind of, that was like the other thing. They did discover like some sewer issues on the lot, because that was the other part. They wanted initially to have the lot put in the back, and they were going to put two houses up front. I think that was like the initial plan. That was discussed, but that was the other part of like moving the house, of like what happened to those plans as far as like this eventually being through.
That's a long run for the sewer line, because it has to come off of Lakeland, because they can't get access to the back road, which is one of the questions they asked, because that's just a service road to water tower or something, right?
Yep.
They can't have access to that, so. Otherwise, you might end up with a lift station or something that far back.
Yeah. That's a long way.
As long as they're meeting city requirements for setbacks and stuff like that, I don't care where they put it, honestly.
But they need to resubmit, though, because that's...
Yeah.
And if they ever do have future plans to put additional houses in that lot, that's going to have to come through as well, because now then they will be dealing with the issues of septic and stormwater and whatnot.
Yeah. All right, so we'll figure out the extension on the staff side, but you guys would like them to resubmit to kind of get clarity on the current plans as is?
I think so.
Yep. All right, cool. So I think that's like the thing that we were trying to get answers and everything. So cool. I'll give Ben a call tomorrow morning, kind of let him know. We just kind of need to see everything again. And I think that's also the other, I think also like who the house was for and kind of all that other stuff. Things got weird. So
it was supposed to be for the husband, wife.
Yeah. Not sure if that's still the case anymore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's just a lot. And, like, yeah, yeah, staff, the building staff had a lot of questions in that regard, too. All right, cool. It's pretty much everything kind of is, like, project-wise. I guess kind of summer meeting schedule.
I responded.
Greatly, I saw him come across. So I guess like we already have things for the June meeting, but the two meetings I guess like or the four meetings that I guess we can't control. By charter, the planning commission is only required to meet once a month. I guess like would it be easier for everyone to commit to one meeting a month, like for July and August? Before I guess like to kind of get breaks on the summer, and we can just kind of condense it, and we'll let all the businesses know like this is just what it is. Instead of playing like the quorum game, if we can all just agree that like here are the two meetings that we're going to make in July and August, and then kind of go from there. I just thought about like offering that if that is something you guys want.
But those are like a five, right?
What?
The meetings?
No. Those would be 6:30. It'll be the regular time.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, regular time meetings, but instead of having two for the summer months.
Well, and typically our summer months, I mean, most of the projects are rolling by that time. So that's kind of the lower ebb of work that we've seen, at least in the last few years I've been on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm usually not on vacation in the middle of the week, so.
Well, I just thought, I mean, like, summer, I mean, like, people do take, like, the gone for, like, a week vacation. I look like our guy here, six Saturdays. He's got six Saturdays and chose this one, you know? He's
not here,
you know? But no decision tonight. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about it at 15 minutes, but I just kind of wanted to offer it as, like, if you guys want any respite. We're by law only required to be.
I'm flexible. Your biggest concern is going to be if you're scheduling once every month in July and August, and then you don't have a quorum. Now your applicants are going to be waiting for another full month.
Yeah, they're backed up again.
Sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Jonathan, that there's sometimes just not a lot of activity in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
So there might not be
actionable items to
quorum on.
So I guess if you're going to do that, just try and get everybody to respond on attendance so that we can ensure that.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I mean, if we agreed to this, like, at the next Planning Commission meeting, we'd probably, that week after, probably confirm, like, the two meetings that we would have in July and August, and then kind of make sure it's on, like, those are hard dates that we're going to have those meetings. Okay. So we can meet.
All right.
So. So I just wanted to offer that and then let you guys think about it.
Good.
Don't think there's anything else. The Columbarium Ordinance and the industrial uses and the brew pub, all those things are going to go to council on Monday. And then the directives kind of regarding lowering quorum and removing the Planning Commission from the CIP process also go to council. So then from council, there we go to the Charter Commission. But yeah. That's all my updates. Any questions you guys got for me? Staff.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We're adjourned.